This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we have a conversation with Jeff Nine, pastor of church planting and church strengthening with Frontline Church, the church for the city. And we are going to talk about an upcoming conference, the Small Town Jesus Conference. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, I'm excited to hear about this. I've been to the Small Town Jesus Conference once before and saw some of the speakers and some of the activity. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Small Town Jesus Conference this year.
Yeah, so this is the third year we've hosted it, and really it came out of a heart of a lot of conferences and a lot of gatherings are centered that are centered at kind of pastoral ministry or church leadership in general, often either assume an urban or suburban context, or are specifically towards that, and there's been a beautiful recovery of urban ministry inside of evangelicalism recently. But there's also been, I think, a lack of focus on rural places, small cities, small towns, everything from a city the size of Woodward, McAllister, Ardmore, like county seats, down to places like where I grew up in Laverne, and even smaller rural places. And so I think the hope and the heart has been, what does it look like for us to gather around or gather together to talk about ministry in those places specifically, the unique challenges of ministry in smaller places, but also the unique opportunities.
Right. So in this this conference, usually you have different topics, and recently, like last year, the conference, it wasn't canceled. Kind of happened just before the COVID and all the shutdowns and everything. But we've had, since the last conference, a lot of water has gone under the bridge, and the small town churches have been hit pretty hard.
Yeah,
many of them had to get up to speed on some like digital worship services and all those other things. A lot of demands on pastors beyond their normal. Many of them are bivocational. Talk a little bit about the plans for ministering to people at coming out of this COVID context.
Yeah, I think just to own I think the place to start is to own the fact that this last season has been really hard and really wearying for many of us. I talk to pastors in small contexts all the time. So one of our church planters is planting a church in a town of 350 people in rural Iowa. I'm working with small town pastors from New Hampshire to North Carolina to Texas to Oklahoma, and in those conversations, one of the things I just hear repeated is this exhaustion. There really is, and we've got to the point where we don't have the resources to simply just keep doing the things we've done before. And what we don't need in these contexts, what these leaders don't need, are more tips and tricks. We really need to be. We really need to receive the gospel that we spend time leading other people to. We actually need to step into receiving for ourselves the grace that we step into dispensing to others in churches week in and week out. And so the focus this year, to sum it up in two words, is gospel resiliency. The idea that in the midst of challenging times, what we don't need are more techniques and skills and resources. We need the grace of God in the gospel to actually sustain us and lift us up. I was reading just recently in 2 Timothy, and one of these phrases stood out that it's one of those that you kind of can gloss over really quickly. And he talks about to Timothy about the challenges of doing ministry in suffering. So he invites him into suffering. He says that you're going to suffer for the sake of the gospel, but you're going to be sustained through the power of God. And then he goes on, and just a couple verses later, he talks about the grace that God brought to him through Onesiphorus. And just the beauty of it was God's grace to him, yes, but it was through a faithful brother. A brother who sought him out, a brother who came near to him, a brother who spoke hope to him when he was imprisoned in Rome. And so what does it look like for us to then gather as fellow ministers, pastors, pastors' wives, deacons, ministry leaders, to get together and go, hey, let's hold out Jesus to one another. Right. Let's step into a space of experiencing the grace that we need to receive so that then we go back into our context, not sustained by more tips and tricks, but actually sustained by the grace of God. And that's what we really want to focus on this year.
What are some of the topics that you'll talk about? Do you have like several speakers that are going to be there?
Yeah, so we've got a couple speakers coming in from out of state, as well as some from in state. One of our leaders, he's been here at each of our conferences in the past, a guy named Donnie Griggs, a good friend of ours, pastoring in a small town in out in the coast of North Carolina. And Donnie really is going to speak to the heart of what we the heart of a leader and what we need to hear in the gospel as leaders ourselves. And also spend some time talking about how we need brotherhood and community around us. We're also going to have a guy named Ronnie Martin. Ronnie's coming in from a small town in Ohio. And he planted a church there around 10 years ago, I think, and pastoring faithfully there. And he's going to speak more specifically to what kind of spiritual renewal, how we need to get that personally, and then lead us in the last session into a time of actually moving towards receiving grace from one another and benediction, the idea of going from the conference with a blessing from the Lord. He'll be doing that. Josh Curry, lead pastor at Frontline, is going to actually do a session specifically to leaders about what ministry in seasons of winter look like. And by winter, we mean that metaphorically, that there are seasons in which ministry seems to be moving and fruitful and engages. And then there are seasons when it's just hard. Hard, and it feels challenging. What does it look like to step into to ministry seasons like that with faithfulness and grace? So we do that. We've got Tim Kimberly coming in from rural Iowa, and he's going to be talking about the blessings of no anonymity in ministry in small towns. I'm going to be leading a session on leading through in times of anxiety. And so we've got some other speakers coming in that are going to be doing a little bit of work around how to lead in times like this, but the focus of the conference is going to be serving the soul of the leader that's there.
And so there's a lot of emphasis on the pastor. There are also mindfulness about the pastor's wives and people who are not pastoring in that conference. What are some of the takeaways you think people are going to get from this conference?
Yeah, my hope is that people come away equipped. That's always a hope. But I think encouragement and connection, or relational connection, are probably the two that I'm most hoping for. In a season where it's been weary, to actually just be encouraged, to like Aaron and her get up underneath Moses's arms and just lift him up. I want us as a people to do that, to encourage one another, to remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel is not just for our people, but for us. But I really want connection. So what we're going to try to create are spaces in which people can meet other people. Maybe they're in similar contexts. Maybe they're in similar areas of the state or bordering states. Maybe they're in similar ministry roles for pastors' wives to connect with other women. To see connections relationally, I think is a massive win and something we're trying to move towards.
Now, we do have a lot of Oklahoma Baptists who participate in this conference, but this is an interdenominational conference. What are some of the other folks that come? It's a good opportunity to cross-pollinate with people with other faiths. I mean, we're all evangelical, but they have other traditions.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is a cross-denominational thing. The bulk of people, I think probably just because of our relationships, are in the Baptist circles.
Right.
But we have Methodist, we have Assemblies of God, we've got Lutheran, we've got Evangelical Free, we've got non-denominational. There's people coming from all kinds of different denominations. I think over the last couple of years, we've had people come from 7 or 8 different states. And so it's a pretty wide invitation. The thing that pulls us together is that sense of the kind of context we're doing ministry in is similar. So let's focus on what does it look like for us as faithful gospel ministers to inhabit our spaces, our small towns, our small cities, our rural context, in a way of faithfulness to move towards people with the gospel in those places.
So speaking of context, as you look at the different kinds of the rural context for churches, what are some things you see are the big ticket item challenges that pastors are dealing with in the rural areas?
Yeah, in the conversations that I'm having, they largely come around a couple of pieces. One is the fact that often pastors in these small places have to wear every single hat, right? They're doing the preaching, they're doing the ordering of things, they're organizing and admin. They're carrying all of those different pieces, and that's a heavy thing to carry. But I think one of the things that at least in my conversations, the thing that emerges probably more than anything is that there's something about doing ministry in a large urban setting where you can go to a coffee shop and be missed and nobody knows you're a pastor and nobody knows who you
right.
are. If you're a pastor in a small town or a small city and you walk into a restaurant or you're at the football game, everybody sees you as a pastor. You're not just the pastor of your local church. You're, in a sense, a pastor for the city, for the
right.
town. You're stepping into funerals of people that don't attend your church. You're stepping into counseling situations and marriage situations with people that don't attend your church.
You're always on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that comes with with the inability to get away.
Mm.
It can create an additional kind of burden.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the questions we have to ask as pastors in smaller places and leaders in smaller places is what are those ways that we can withdraw from the ministry
right.
in order to return with fresh grace? So withdraw
right.
and return, withdraw
right.
and return. And so that's actually, I hope that this conference is the time where these leaders get to withdraw for just a few days to
right.
be refreshed and then return ready to engage again.
And you talk about the context of, you know, like whenever you're ministering in a community and the whole community knows you,
mm-hmm.
there's also a bit of an opportunity there
yes.
that
yes.
you wouldn't have in like
yes.
a metro area that you have some credibility or some kind of status
yes.
or you can minister to the community. Maybe that's one of the opportunities. But what are some mm-hmm. of the unique opportunities you see that is encouraging to you for the small town pastor?
Yeah, I think they're with the weight of being known by everybody, there is that opportunity to step into things that you wouldn't normally. So I was talking to Donnie Griggs. So he's
mm-hmm.
he's one of the guys coming out. I was with him in North Carolina just a couple of months ago, and we were talking. I said, "How you doing?" And honestly, his whole countenance lowered for a second.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Man, it's been a hard week." He had gotten a call from he works as a chaplain for the fire department there
mm-hmm.
in his small town, and so he's getting calls at 2 a.m. for drug overdoses all the time.
Right.
He's getting called in for suicides all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He has opportunities to step into schools and into places that sometimes in urban contexts you don't get. There's open opportunities because of that proximity and that
right.
relational connection to the community that is just ripe for gospel fruit. So in 1 week, as hard as it was for Donnie, he was able to sit with a family and grieve over an overdose and serve that family who
mm-hmm.
didn't know Jesus.
Right.
He was able to then go and do the funeral of a suicide in the community
mm-hmm.
and not just speak to the family, speak grace to the family, but speak grace to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other day, we got a call from one of our congregations in a smaller town, and we got a call from the local high school as soon as there was a tragedy that happened there. And they knew that we had connections to the school, and they knew that we loved the city. And they said, "Hey, can you come sit with some of our students and some of our leaders right now? They're grieving really hard."
Mm-hmm.
And it's those opportunities might exist in larger places, but they definitely don't exist in the same way or to the same degree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, that made me think about how you have access in these situations, but also to community leaders, the doors might be more open
yes.
in some ways.
Yeah,
I've had a chance to travel a little bit in Oklahoma and be in the rural context
yeah.
and know that pastors, they're going to know the sheriff, they're going to know
yeah,
the mayor,
exactly.
they're going to know, I've never met the mayor or
right.
chief of police or
yeah.
anything
yeah.
like that. Not that I'm anything,
yeah.
but so the opportunity to really impact your community seems
yeah.
And that's, again, as we go back, that's a big weight to carry on your shoulder,
yeah.
The expectation and, all everything that you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be ministering. So talk about this conference. If a pastor in a rural context is listening to you and, it's going to be a couple hours
yeah.
drive
yeah.
for
yeah.
him, 4 or 5 hours maybe to
mm-hmm.
get to Shawnee.
Right.
To tell about, what are the logistics of it
yeah.
and, anything he needs to know, what to expect, You know, what to bring. I don't know.
Yeah. Information on the about the conference is on a website, smalltownjesusok.com. Mm-hmm. Actually, at the bottom of that is a link to email me directly. So even if there are specific questions that they have, they can email me directly. But there's going to be some information there in terms of where it is and when it is. It's October 8th and 9th.
Right.
We're going to start, kind of middle of the morning on Friday and go through the day Friday. And then Saturday, we'll get people freed up by noon. We wanted to do that so that people have a chance to get back to their places.
Right.
The reason we did Friday, Saturday also is to create an opportunity for many of our pastors who are bivocational. It's hard for them to get away during the week without taking time off. And so this enables them to be there for either for the whole conference or at least part of it.
Right.
And so we'll be done by midday on Sunday or on Saturday. So they're able to get back to where they need to be on Sunday. There are hotels there in Shawnee. What's nice about Shawnee is it is a small town, but it's right on the interstate. And so it's easy to get in and out of and get space along. And so smalltownjesusok.com has the website information. Like I said, there's a link at the bottom to email me.
Is there a cost or anything?
Yeah, so registration is right now it's for general admission is $55, and then for students it's $25.
Okay,
but let me add this: if money is what stands between somebody attending and not, we'll cover the cost. What we're not trying to do is just try to get a bunch of money off this. We're trying to recoup a little bit of the cost, but trying to make it as affordable as we can. So it's $55 right now. I think at the door it'll be $65, but if somebody has trouble financially making that meet, just send me an email off that link and I'll get it covered.
Okay. Have we talked about everything? Is there anything else that you on your mind?
I think I just would say if you are pastoring in one of these places, whether it's a large county seat, like I said, a place the size of Alva, Enid, Elk City, Ardmore, or whether you're in maybe you're pastoring in a church that's surrounded by a wheat field. Like, I think this is going to be a conference that's going to speak specifically to the challenges and the opportunities of ministry in those places, and speak to the heart of leaders who are carrying those both those challenges and those expectations with them in a way that I think it'll be really encouraging. I think one point of just being able to make connection with people that are in similar contexts.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that coming out of this conference are more conversations and more meetups and hope. My hope is more friends.
Right.
We want to see not just just handshakes, but actually communion between brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And so that's my hope. That's my prayer for this conference. And so especially for many of our leaders who maybe they're lonely, maybe they're tired, come be refreshed. Meet a brother or sister,
right.
and hopefully you're stepping back into your context with a friend that you're able to do communion with, and encouraged again in the gospel to step into the calling that God's given you.
Well, it sounds like a good opportunity to kind of recalibrate, get away, refocus on your ministry, and like you said, make some good contacts. Thank you, Jeff Nine.
Thank you,
Frontline Church. Appreciate you sharing with us about Small Town Jesus Conference.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. And I want to thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this conversation, we have more like it on our website at baptistmessenger.com or search for us wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Baptist Messenger and you'll find our podcast. And while you're on baptistmessenger.com, be sure to subscribe to our print edition of the Baptist Messenger. It's free for you and anyone in your church, and it has a lot of articles and things that aren't on our website. So anyway, thank you and God bless.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.